Hello, I'm Deirdre McGettrick, co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, and together with...
I'm Audrey Whelan, a founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design.
We have come together to bring you our podcast series, which is called The DNA of Home Interiors. Audrey and I have found each other on Instagram, yeah. And through our shared experiences, we would love to share with you everything about home design and home furnishing to empower you to make the best decisions possible. Audrey, do you want to tell us a little bit more about you and your business and your background?
Yeah. So I've been running my own interior design business for 10 years. Prior to that, I worked for other people for 10 years. And over the past 10 years of running my own business, I've focused mainly on residential interior design, doing a lot of interior design, but also project management. And what I found as time went on was that I was getting more and more inquiries from people who were running their own projects, but really struggling with the amount of decisions they needed to make and how overwhelmed they felt during the process. It wasn't always possible for me to jump in and help them because I'd be running bigger jobs, so I just didn't have the time available sort of at short notice. But what this did do was that over time it really inspired me to refocus my business to be able to help people in this situation. So more recently I've been doing individual consultations with people to help them at various stages of the projects, and I've also set up interior design workshops, so covering different topics of home interiors, and running these in various locations around London. So that offers people a chance to come along, whether it's at the very beginning and they need inspiration and ideas to get their project off the ground, or perhaps later when they've got builders on site and they've got some crucial decisions to make at short notice.
And it's funny that you mentioned that frustration, because I suppose I bought an apartment 2.5 years ago, and as part of that was very much the journey that I went on. All of that frustration, it's the first time that you're furnishing a home and creating that design, which you want to reflect your personality, but also you've got all the social pressures of it looking like it's designed and it will be Instagram worthy. So I suppose a lot of what you do when we actually talked about it was sort of giving people the confidence to follow your own sort of style and not be completely led. And I did have the opportunity to go to one of your workshops, which are amazing, and obviously I'd highly recommend, and they're available on your website, all the details about those and how you can join them. But I suppose I jumped into the project like a lot of people do, and what you sort of begin to find is that having been on your workshop, all of those design decisions, going back to the basics, I skipped through those, and then I fell through every single possible a loophole that I could, and every mistake that was possible to make, I felt like I ended up making them, because you're so determined to push ahead and then you sort of bring it back and realize that they're the wrong decisions, but you've got to learn the lessons the hard way.
Yeah. Well, this is what I find so many times with people, that they'll say, I just want to make the first decision and then everything else should hopefully fall into place. But then what actually happens is when they start looking at, say, sofas, they get so confused by the amount of sofas out there and all the various decisions about size, fabrics, whether it's L-shape or two single sofas and so on. But they're not looking at the room as a whole necessarily. So they're trying to make one decision on its own, but actually every other decision in that room is going to be impacted by that sofa decision. So what I like to do is actually say to people, look at the whole room in one go. So let's actually write down even all the decisions that need to be made in that room and pull together ideas for every single thing. So that's, obviously it's a sofa. Are you going to have some storage in the room, maybe bookcases? Are you going to have an armchair? What about lighting, wall colors, flooring, and so on? And so pulling together, you can do it with the images of specific products, but then also I'm a real believer in looking at different samples and materials as well to really give you that appreciation for the feel of things, the texture, and how those different surfaces can work together in a room. So that's, I think that's probably what you quite enjoyed then out of that process, to
exactly.
Go right back to basics.
Exactly. And I think that's the step before most people maybe miss out on, and yet it's crucial, because you don't sort of just jump in and start baking your cake. You do look at the recipe and you need to know where you're going before just going out and doing it.
That's it,
And I suppose you talked there about you know, the sofa, and you get a two-seater or a three-seater, is it L-shaped, and all the options that are out there. And that was really the inspiration behind the Kuldea business. You were looking at all of these products and you first jump in and you don't know what a divan is. I didn't know what an ottoman was. So it's trying to get that education and process. So what I envisaged was actually a one website where consumers can shop across all retailers in the market, shop, discover, compare, and find, because there's so many retailers out there and so many options that people don't even realize. So it's all about showing the full option. Once you've done that design stage and you're going to your search process, you can jump on Kuldea, you can search across the entire market, favorite your products, create your collections, see how they go together, see what the budget adds up to, and then feel that you're empowered because you've done the design and you've done the proper research to actually go through and complete the purchase and finish your room off.
Yes. Because it's really, I mean, in the industry, like how I've always worked is dividing up kind of those two processes really that you're talking about into stages. So you've got that initial kind of concept stage, which is what we do in the workshops with the mood board, and then the sourcing stage is the next stage. So it's not really possible to efficiently source on a project, sort of certainly when it's a project you're doing kind of commercially and you need to do it in a set amount of time, and it's not possible to achieve that unless you know sort of what your guidelines are of what you're looking for. So if you know that you're looking for, you know, in a dining room, perhaps you've identified at the mood board stage that your table is going to be perhaps marble or white because you've got a wood floor, you definitely don't want a wood table. But then your next stage then is to actually look for, right, well, what kind of marble tables or white tables are out there? And so I guess on Kuldea then you can sort of start to see, well, actually marble is going to cost me maybe five times the price of white, you know, and then you can go through all the other items in your room in a similar way and then budget and look at, well, can I sort of spend the extra on the marble table and then cut back a bit on other items, maybe dining chairs or lighting in the room.
And it's amazing because during the mood board workshop, I think a lot of people, because what we speak to at Kuldea is a lot of people that are going through the home furnishing process, and that's first time buyers right through to people that are buying a replacement sofa or moving into a bigger house and upsizing around having families. And everybody has this idea in their head, and it's things you get influenced from, you know, being out in restaurants and bars and hotels. But one thing that really shocked me was when I had these ideas in my head, when I actually went to the workshop and put them on the paper and looked at them together, I could immediately see the clashes. But most people don't give themselves that opportunity. Instead, you rush out, you buy them, you put them together in your room, and only then do you realize that, oh my God, that's a clash. How could I have ever thought they would go together? And the importance of that stage, which I would recommend everybody to do because I completely made it, is to actually plan from the get-go and actually do as much research. And you said you can do it all in your head right now because you're so used to it, but really putting it down on paper, it must be key for everybody that's starting off.
I think so. I mean, I may have said I can do it in my head, but well, I definitely...
Are you lying?
Well, I definitely still do is put things together, and even if it's digitally, and I will look at items on a just, you know, on a document on the computer, just pull images together and look at how they are. And sometimes I'll think, no, you know, that armchair just isn't right, it's too bright, so I'll swap it over for something else. And I find that's a really good kind of visual aid before doing any purchasing on a project. And so I do think that's key. So yeah, there's a certain amount I can do in my head, but you know, certainly if it's for somebody else and not me and I can't afford to take those risks, then I do find, you know, it is good to look at it all in one go. And it's also then an easy way to have a conversation with somebody else and say, you know, this is what the room would look like, these are the key things, and then to kind of swap in and out a few items if you want kind of more contrast in the room or more patterns or less, and you really get the kind of mood and the atmosphere from it then by doing that.
So I'm intrigued, you obviously do this for a lot of your projects. Did you actually create a mood board when it was your own home for your house when you designed it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got pretty much my whole house done up on SketchUp in 3D, so I can test out.
So you do practice what you preach.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And yeah, mood boards as well. Yeah, so just really simple. I mean, you can even just use like PowerPoint. It doesn't have to be any fancy design program, and just, you know, sort of screenshot images and drop them in. And I would do that. And then the beauty of it is that over time, you know, say with this living room, you know, I can just go back and think, oh yeah, I want to replace something or add something, and I'll just go back to that mood board and I'll pop the item in there and, you know, see what it looks like. So yeah, it's a good way to just
that's a really good point out. Because you don't think about that. You think about creating your look, but you don't think about the replacement of items, actually having that there that you can go back to. Again, you're full of good tips.
Yeah, and also, I mean, on 3D modeling obviously is a skill that you need to learn, but I kind of feel, you know, hopefully maybe in the future it would be a thing you buy a property and there's a 3D model with it, and you can automatically just start to kind of work out, you know, what goes in, or you can see an ideal layout, you know. I think that's really helpful as well, because at the end of the day, I suppose there's two real sides to the furnishing dilemma that people tend to have. You know, one is like the mood board aspect of kind of the look and feel and what comes together, but then the other side, obviously, you know, which is equally and almost more important, is, you know, what will fit in, because there's no point in, you know, having the big L-shaped sofa and okay, maybe it'll technically fit in the room, but it just won't look right because you don't have enough room to circulate around it. So having a method to be able to test out this, so I mean, in the workshops we do very basic scale drawing by hand on some of the, like, the kitchen and bathroom design workshops in particular, and so that gives people sort of an insight into just how to do that very simply. Obviously, there's a lot of apps and things out there as well that you can do it with. And again, then once you do, it's almost like a good investment of time to draw up your room, because then over time, if you want to make changes, you've got the basics there and you just need to kind of swap things around.
And I suppose as you move from the inspiration side of things into the sourcing, it's a constant frustration that we constantly see across everyone that we speak to and across the market, that people get really frustrated from the fact that you know exactly what you want and you've seen it on Instagram or you've seen it in a hotel, so you know it exists out there. But how do you find it?
Yes, and that's what you
so
said, isn't it?
That's exactly then about how Kuldea can come in and help you, because you can search across all of the furniture retailers in the market, and that's not just the names that you would typically search on, but it's all smaller ones as well. So the range of products really should give you that ideal fit for what you want. And then, of course, applying your parameters like you discuss, if you've got a certain dimensions or that material or that color, and apply that to really narrow down and to find the item that's perfect for you in your home.
Because the other thing that can happen is, like, you can see something you love, like you said, in a hotel or somewhere, but then when you kind of test out using that item in your home, as in you measure up maybe, and you just think, well, that is not going to fit, it's going to be too big. But then it's great to still be able to take inspiration from something you found that you really like, and then think, okay, well, maybe I can search for something that is similar. So it might be that, you know, it was in particular, it was a combination of, say, it might have been a green sofa with brass legs. So you think, well, instead, let's have a green armchair with brass legs. But then you've got the challenge of finding something that kind of has a similar look, but in a different type of, you know, different piece of furniture. So, it's good to be able to do that.
And that sofa that potentially is too big for the room, I'm thinking back, because my parents bought a 3-seater black leather sofa and 2 big reclining armchairs, and they are huge. And they didn't look that big in the big warehouse, but of course, when we took them home and put them in our living room, all of a sudden it was like, this was the worst buy ever. And you've bought them, so you're stuck with them. And it's those sort of mistakes that we really want to take you through the journey through the podcast. And I suppose, is it worth maybe chatting about some of the other themes and what we'll sort of discuss to help people along the way?
So obviously we've covered quite a few aspects of furnishing there, but also we will take specific areas of house, and we look at rooms like such as kitchens, bathrooms, specific dilemmas that crop up quite a bit. I mean, at this stage I've worked with over 250 people around London, and it's amazing over time just seeing that, you know, what people struggle with is often what, you know, somebody else will struggle with, and the next
person. I was going to say, it must be quite repetitive.
You see quite a repeat. So obviously, and not that everybody has the same solution then, because they'll have a different property, but it will be the concept of something that they're trying to figure out, which I will see, you know, repeated again and again in different scenarios. So I think, you know, quite good to focus on particular rooms like that, and maybe kids' bedrooms as well. And also it would be great looking into sort of the relationship with tradespeople more. So, you know, furnishing is one thing, but then obviously a lot of times that's going in tandem with bigger projects where there's a refurbishment or decoration. So I think areas such as obtaining quotes and how to effectively manage those tradespeople would be great to discuss as well.
I think everybody would be very keen to see on that regard. But we also want to do a little bit of a behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and that's with our home buyers and home furnishers who have gone through the journey already, people that are renovating. So we're going to meet a lot of people to find out from their mistakes and also their wins, because it's not all mistakes. People do get a lot of things right, yeah. as well, but unfortunately, yeah. I think the mistakes tend to always stand out a little bit more, because they're the thing you see in the home that you sort of regret, as were the things that you love, you yeah. sort of begin to take those for granted. So we'll be doing lots of that, and doing also behind the scenes with some of the furniture retailers that we have on the Kuldea website, really figuring out what goes into furniture design and the furniture making process, and how that's linking into sustainability, which is a big trend today. Mm-hmm. And we're also really keen to share with you the trends that we see. So we have got many, many, many thousands of users on Kuldea, so we can really see what's happening in the market. And we're also going to talk about trends in the market. We have great insight into what people are buying and what are the key trends for the different seasons from all of our insights at Kuldea. I think one other point, Audrey, that we touched upon as well, is that we wanted to chat about the individual items and top tips for buying individual specifics of furniture. And one thing that we should hopefully talk about as well is coffee tables. I don't know if any of you out there have had the dilemma as to whether to buy one or not, which leads in nicely to furnishing decisions with your other half.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so this is something I've encountered a lot over time. So how do people actually agree on what they're going to put in their homes and what they're going to purchase? So we'll delve into that subject and hopefully help anybody who's, you know, feeling the pressure in that situation.
Because of course the other half does have an opinion, and you could take it into consideration. And yeah, we'll delve into that one a little bit more. And I suppose lastly, we're just really excited about all things design and home interiors and home furnishings. So we're super excited to be able to share all of our insights and your years of experiences, and really link in with other people who are experiencing furnishing their homes to learn their lessons. And it all ultimately leads back to giving people the confidence and empowering them to find the perfect furniture design and sourcing of products for their home. Audrey, I think one thing we haven't probably explained is actually the name of the podcast, the DNA of home interiors. Do you want to go through with how we came up with it?
So the DNA is Deirdre and Audrey.
D and A. We were very creative.
Yes.
But we wanted it really to represent at the same time, in the same way that DNA is integral to everything that goes on. It's sort of the A to Z that we're going to be talking about for the furnishing. So we're pretty excited to be on the journey. So be sure to follow us across our social media channels. The DNA of Home Interiors is on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram and Twitter.
So thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for the next one.